From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made earlier this month at the East End Tavern in Rochester. It was a meeting hosted by leaders of the 25th Legislative District, a candidate's night. Mayor Lovely Warren could not attend, so City Councilman Adam McFadden spoke on her behalf. What I'm about to explore next might sound especially insidery, but I think it exemplifies what we've seen in the Democratic Party locally that goes back some years. The committees from the different legislative districts have a say in who gets designated as the party's candidate, for example, for mayor. And so there is a kind of battle to have the committees run by people who are supportive of individual campaigns. That's not necessarily anything new. But if you ask Councilman McFadden, something changed when Lovely Warren defeated Tom Richards in 2013. McFadden sent an open letter today to the chair of the local Democratic Party, Jamie Romeo. In his letter, McFadden said that Warren's victory sparked rage amongst mostly white supporters of former Mayor Richards, and they've been determined to get back politically. And that, McFadden alleges, has led to an effort to systemically disenfranchise black voters in the city of Rochester. How? Well, it starts with the committees. In a moment, I'm going to ask Councilman McFadden to explain his concerns in detail, and then we're going to hear from some other voices. Beatrice LeBron is here, a leader of the 25th Legislative District and a vocal supporter of James Shepherd for mayor, but she's here representing herself and her work on the committee. She was a co-author of a public letter to Mayor Warren saying that Councilman McFadden had tried to bully the committee and had inflamed racial tensions. We've also welcomed a member of Rachel Barnhart's campaign for mayor to make sure there's balance today because we are, after all, in the midst of a mayoral campaign. But this is really about creating these committees and the fractures in the Democratic Party and whether there can be healing. So let me go ahead and welcome my guests for the hour. A longtime leader of the 27th Legislative District and City Councilman Adam McFadden is here. Adam, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Also here is Beatrice LeBron, leader of the 25th Legislative District. Beatrice, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me as well.
Don Richardson is a member of the 25th as a committee member since just in the last year. So Don, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And Joe Rittler is a former leader of the 24th, and he's campaign manager for Rachel Barnhart's campaign for mayor. Joe, welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
All right, Adam, why don't I start with you and just, you know, you can correct if anything I got wrong in the intro, but why don't you take me through what happened a couple of weeks ago?
Well, let me give you some history,
yeah,
because this is important. I've been involved in this party since 1995. I became the leader of the 27th in the year 2000. So I've seen a lot of stuff in this party, more so than anybody in the room just because of my involvement that long. So back in 2003, all of the racial tension started in this particular fashion back actually in 2003. This isn't new for me. This is a very old fight. The Democratic Chronicle published a story about it back then when I witnessed blacks being sit in the back of a room at a meeting when they were asked to actually get up and go to the back of a room. So for me, last year, I got wind that NYSET was planning to do a takeover of my committee and the 25th LD from some
New
folks.
New York State United Teachers.
Yes.
Okay.
They actually financed people to carry petitions against many people who lived in my district, but also were neighborhood residents, people who had been involved in the 19th Ward Community Association. On my committee, I have six past presidents of the Community Association, 26 members who have been on the Executive Committee or Delegates Council of the 19th Ward Community Association. The 27th LD is basically the 19th Ward. And many of those folks that were on those petitions against my folks were people who did not, one, either live in the neighborhood. Some, in fact, lived outside the city in the suburbs and many across town in the Northeast. And for me, the issue I have with that is that you silence the voice of the folks of that particular neighborhood. So it has unintended consequences. If you cannot vote in a city election, why would you get to designate who the mayor or any city representative would be? Or, for that matter, the 27th legislature, LaShae Harris, she would now have people designating her who don't live in the 27th. So when I got wind of that, I fought it back with folks, and we were able to maintain control of the committee. Beatrice and her group, they did great work. She is now the new leader, and I had not followed their committee. The couple days before the LD meeting that they hosted, the mayor asked me to attend on her behalf because she couldn't be there. I really didn't want to do it, but you get asked by the mayor to do something, I went. When I got there, I was surprised at the location because I come from a process knowing the history of the 25th with Willie Lightfoot, Calvin Lee, those guys, in terms of the turmoil that happened in the party long before we're here today. So I was just shocked by the location.
Because it was outside the 25th?
Yes. Okay. And so I asked to speak on the mayor's behalf. Paul, who was running the meeting at the time, basically wasn't going to let me speak, and I had to have this back and forth about speaking, telling him that I was being sent here by the mayor. And it is a common thing for someone to send a surrogate when they can't make it, and normally that is afforded to that person. When I started the meeting, started to speak, I asked everyone to raise their hands because I've been in this a long time. Sometimes there are more people associated with campaigns than the actual members of the committee. And I didn't recognize a lot of people in the room, so I just wanted to know who was on the committee and who wasn't. So I asked, if you're on the 25th, could you please raise your hand? Someone asked, what did I say? And I said, if you're on the 25th LD committee, raise your hand. And when I saw the hands go up, that's when I noticed the disproportionate amount of white folks to people of color in the room. I didn't know the makeup of the committee on paper. I'm just telling you what I saw with my eyes.
And how many people did you see there that night? Roughly how many people were there?
I would say it was probably about 25 folks that raised their hand. I would say that I saw three blacks, and I'm not counting people associated with campaigns. I'm talking about people who said that they're on the committee, one Latino, and about 20 or less than 20 whites in that, you know, order.
So in your mind, what you're looking at in that room that night, representing the committee, it was almost 80% white.
Yes.
Okay. And then you made some remarks, and if you don't mind, can we listen to some of what you had to say? So this is what Adam McFadden said, again, speaking on behalf of Mayor Lovely Warren at that committee meeting that night. This is most of those remarks. Let's listen.
The 25th LD actually is a Southwest LD, so I don't know why we're over in the East End, but the 25th is actually that way. And I'm in the Southwest as well. That's why I'm saying that. There was a lot of work from the leaders before, Willie Lightfoot, Calvin Lee, to make sure that the folks in the Southwest had a voice. So I'm going to say that clearly, because that committee should be held in their neighborhood, not in the East End. That's my voice, not the mayor's. But I will say, I would ask that you consider what she's talking about in terms of reorganization of the police department, body cameras, making sure that everyone has the ability to go in City Hall and be employed. City Hall is reflective now of this community. It was not that way. And I can tell you that working with her and working with other folks in the room to bring changes to City Hall has been a really good thing for this community. So I'd ask that you consider supporting our mayor, and she sends her greetings. Thank you.
And then they had a few questions for you, but that was essentially the extent of it. From what I heard, I didn't see your Facebook remarks. What I heard there was you making your own comments on behalf of yourself, saying, hey, if you're going to have a committee meeting, you should have it in the district. That was it. And it was a half, you know, sort of a winking cordial, but it didn't seem to be that aggressive. I didn't see your Facebook comments, because then a letter comes from some leaders of the committee, and Adam, I mean, the letter that they wrote as an open letter to Mayor Warren, they wrote, the executive committee members from the 25th Democratic Committee feel compelled to write this open letter as a rebuke to the bigoted, disrespectful, and false statements made by Councilmember Adam McFadden as a surrogate for Mayor Lovely Warren on Facebook and in person. We expect Mayor Warren to unequivocally denounce the intolerant statements made on her behalf. So what did you say on Facebook that I missed here that could have sparked that kind of response?
I'm still trying to figure it out, because all I did was say what I saw at the meeting, and that there were people working to disenfranchise black voters associated to James Shepherd campaign, and I stand by that statement. Now, I will also say this, to have my name slandered that way, when the tape clearly shows that there were no bigoted comments at the meeting, one, and two, me giving an observation of what I saw in terms of numbers there, I did not know the makeup of the committee. I was only speaking to what I saw, did not rise to the level that this letter claims. It's a slander letter.
But what if they say, well, okay, maybe that night 20 out of the 25 committee members who showed up were white, but look at our numbers. Our numbers are, we actually are disproportionately...
That's fair, but that has nothing to do with what I saw. I'm not debating that. But what I will do is debate this, that NYSET did fund a campaign to take over the committee, knocking people who were associated with SWAN off of the committee. SWAN is the neighborhood group of that committee. That's a fact. People on my committee. I had to fight people who lived in Gates. I had to fight people who lived in 14621. That's not the legislative district. So that's not a bigoted statement. That's fact.
Okay.
And bigotry, I mean, I think people should look up the definition of what bigotry is. And I will go even further. I have to talk to somebody to bully them. I don't know who I might have bullied because I haven't talked to anybody from the 25th in a bullying tone to say what they should or should not do.
All right. We're going to keep working through this. That's Adam McFadden. I want to ask Beatrice and Dawn to respond now. Now, Beatrice, were you at the meeting that night?
So, no. Unfortunately, I was not at the meeting because what happened was another LD member and that they're a part of supporting Lovely scheduled a same candidate's night. So I'm also running for school board, and so I needed to turn the meeting over so that I could be at the other committee. And so I wasn't going to, when I came back, I did have lots of members come up. They were upset.
Hold on a second. They were upset about what Adam said that night?
They were upset about Adam's tone and how he, yes, and what he said and how he approached it. And
I don't mean to argue.
You didn't play the whole clip. You only played a portion.
I've listened to the whole clip.
I've listened to the whole clip as well, but I was not there. I'm just telling you what people told me. Now, that's not what prompted a response from this whole situation. I personally was like, I was not here. I can't speak. I don't know what happened exactly. Dawn was there, and I'll let her speak on that. However, what happened was that night, Adam McFadden went to Facebook, and he posted a stat. And I have a copy of that, and I'm going to report portions of it only.
Okay.
But I'll send you the whole thing, and I'll put it also on the LD25 Facebook page. Everything he just said, that it was hell in the East End, and anyone who knows involved in politics knows that the terms of his borders, and he mentioned Genesee Street, Flint, Columbia, Reynolds, Bartlett. He failed to mention Mount Hope and parts and areas of the Southwest because I walked for those petitions myself. This past summer, he brings it back to NYSET. So I don't represent NYSET. I don't speak on behalf of NYSET. They have a spokesperson that... either one of you guys can reach out to. The other thing I should know is that less than 10% of our members are actually NYSET members at this point. And also, NYSET members, they live in the Southwest. They live in that community. So I will be, I can absolutely tell you who lives on our community and who lives outside of the LD district, as he says, but they're still within the assembly district.
How many committee members are there on the 25th?
We have currently about 115 members. I just added some more right in February, so okay. I don't have the final number.
How many live outside the 25th?
Less than 1%.
I mean, so it should be zero, right?
Yeah, well...
I mean, the rules should probably change.
The rules should change. But Adam, like he said, he's been an LD leader since 2005. He could have had
2000.
Plenty... 2000. So you've had plenty of ample time to make those suggestions and bring it up and fight it as an LD leader. I'm brand new into this. I have my own concerns with the disenfranchisement for black and brown people. Let me finish. I let you finish. He also talked about, long story short, the 25th Democratic Committee is now predominantly white, which is not true, and that they do not live in the community, and some don't even live in the city. All of our members actually live in the city. We don't have anyone that lives outside of the city in the 25th district, and they live within the assembly district. So we are within our rules and our boundaries. He also said, all in an effort to give James Shepherd the Democratic Party endorsement, and said, if you're black and supporting Shepherd, please be aware that he is working with a group of people who is purposely disfranchising black Democrats, and that's false. And people saw this stat. I'm not friends with Adam. I haven't blocked for years for other reasons. However, this was sent to me and people were upset. And honestly, as a new LD leader, I felt that it was our place to openly address this. And this is who Lovely has representing her, going out and speaking on her behalf. Perhaps she should find someone else because nobody in LD 25 is asking any members to vote for any candidate. People are allowed to vote for who they want to vote. And we support that. I've never once told any LD member to vote for Shepherd, to vote for Mayor Warren. And in fact, I have nothing to do with this. I remember Adam McFadden and Lovely Warren campaigning and walking for Tom Richards. I never supported Tom Richards. I never campaigned for him. I campaigned for Lovely Warren. It's just that this time around, in the last 4 years, I don't feel any changes have been made. So I switch who I'm supporting.
Okay.
I'm entitled to support who I want to support.
I think you're taking it personal because my attack wasn't at you. My attack actually is at NYSET funding people to actually go out
so
and petition.
So let me just address that.
Can I let you talk now? Hold on one second.
I apologize. You're right. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
So all I'm saying is I never said your name. I've been clear about whose name I've said on multiple occasions. So this thing in my mind, because I've never had a conversation with you, so you shouldn't take this personal. It's not personal for me. For me, this is about the attempt of what happened last summer. The Democratic Chronicle did a whole story on it. What happened last summer was prompted by a meeting that Paul Hippolyte had with the mayor on her statements around the schools that were in receivership. Because remember, she came out saying that she thought the mayor should have some say. He attempted to bully her in a meeting, basically to get her to change her view. When she did not do that, he threatened to come after her. What he did was he went and he funded an effort to take over the committees in order to take the endorsement or designation away from mayor. I'm not talking about you per se. I'm telling you about what I know. And I can tell you that the folks that he basically partnered with are the same folks that I've been fighting in this party going back to 2003. So you shouldn't take that personal. I'm just giving you some history because it's almost like you're taking it as if I'm attacking you or members of the 25th.
Well, I'm the leader of the 25th, and you're attacking members that I personally asked to join and support this effort.
What I saw last summer on my committee, there was an effort by NYSED. And I can tell you there were people who did not live in the city that they attempted to petition on my committee.
Can I ask a few questions here? Because first of all, Adam, what NYSED apparently got involved with last summer, if that happened the way you're describing, some people would say, that's just politics, isn't it?
It is just politics to an extent. But if you exploit what I would call a racial tension to do it, then it's more than politics.
Okay, and this is important because in Adam's letter, again, let me quote from Adam's letter that he sent to Jamie Romeo, chair of the Monroe County Democratic Party, today. He wrote, I am asking you to investigate the systematic disenfranchisement of black voters in the city of Rochester. And Adam goes on to say the following, quote, as you know, the defeat of Tom Richards in the primary by Lovely Warren initiated a firestorm of retribution on the part of Mr. Richards' supporters. The rage with which Mayor Warren's election was greeted by the white establishment within the Monroe County Democratic Committee resulted in a media slur campaign against a black female mayor who was legally elected. So two questions. One's for you, and then I want Beatrice and Dawn, and then we're going to bring Joe into this as well here. But first of all, what you say there about black disenfranchisement is different than NYSED getting involved with politics because they don't like what the mayor is doing, right?
Right.
How are they?
Are you asking me the question? Because she's answering.
I know I have to answer. I'm sorry. But.
Adam, just help explain to our listeners who may not be able to make the connection
okay,
yet.
So
where
let
you
me
see the black disenfranchisement.
See, because I've been around a long time, I know how this works. So I'll give you some tricks that people do. So when you go out and you put people on a petition or a ballot, what you purposely try to do is put as many as possible, some of which you know will never show up to a meeting, but you're trying to get the weighted vote up, okay? But then you put your own supporters in who will come to a meeting. So what happens is you dilute the voice of the actual committee and you supplant your own voice. So I've seen this dozens of times. You've been a part of this and you know that's basically the trick. So it is both the same thing. It's not one or the other. It's not just politics. When you purposely fill up a committee, on my committee, I got five people in one household. Five people in one household who are probably not going to show up to the meeting. So for me, there are a number of tricks that you do to put people in a position so that your voice is heard louder than other folks. I know the tricks because I've been around. So most people will not understand what I'm saying. I understand it because I know what the games that have been played. I've been involved with this party since 1995. I watched them change the rules when I would consider predominantly black LDs began to work together to help endorse folks. I never accused you of supporting James Shepherd, but I do know that there was a group of Democrats after that election was over who went to work day one that Mayor Lovely Warren was sworn in to smear her and to do everything possible to make her an illegitimate mayor. And that came from within the Democratic Party, and it definitely had racial undertones by the things that they were doing and saying.
Now,
and I stand by that.
Now, on your Facebook post, you apparently said I'm sorry if you are black and supporting Shepard. Please be aware that he is working with a group of people who is purposefully disenfranchising black Democrats. Is it delegitimizing people of color who look at James Shepard and they want to support him for their own reasons?
I think they should be aware of what they are part of what the tricks that are being played. I don't have a problem. Listen, James Shepard can run for office. Part of democracy is having open and fair elections. But when I see things happening that I think are foul, I'm going to talk about it. Most people don't understand it because they're not an insider in the process. I am an insider in the process, so I call it as I see it. Now, I will admit that I did not know the makeup of your committee because I did not follow it after last summer. I went with my committee and I did what I needed to do with mine. I wasn't worrying about another one. But I never tried to bully your committee because I never talked to you. I've never had a conversation with anyone to say what y'all should do. My only question was, when I saw it on Shalashri, I was like, what is it doing over here?
And I can answer that. So actually, what happened was that we had a different location. And I lost the location right before I was scheduled to go to Memphis and Mississippi, and I was going out of town, and I needed to mail the letters. Mind you, I pay out of pocket for the letters, the ink. The LD did not have any funding coming into it. So right now, as the leader, I pay everything out of pocket. So we were able to secure that bar from a friend of a friend who said, hey, this business just opened. They're looking, you know, for advertisement. It'll be a win-win. You can get the space free, closed off to the public, and we'll provide food. It was right before I left to Mississippi, and I said, that's fine. I'll take it.
But should meetings be in the district?
Absolutely.
In?
And I'll be working on that. But right now, I currently work two jobs. I'm running for school board. I have three children, two in college, one in kindergarten. I'm balancing a lot as a single mother. So, you know, finding a space last minute for the LD so that I can satisfy one person's voice is not going to be a priority for me.
Okay, but it does sound like you agree with him that future meetings probably should be in the district.
Absolutely.
So we've got some common ground there.
We have common ground.
Now, Adam, we're looking at the numbers here. 30% of the voters in the 25th are white. 18.3% of the committee is white. You know, did you go too far in saying this is basically a white committee, a mostly white committee?
I wasn't saying it was a white committee. I was doing an assessment of what I saw that day.
Okay.
Now, am I wrong because now I know the numbers? Yes. But am I still shocked by what I saw? Yes. So that's even worse, that if 18% of the committee is white, but 90% of the turnout was white, what is that saying?
About who's actually active in the committee and
so
how it's
can
composed.
I just address okay. that
yep,
too?
Please do.
So
go
we
ahead.
Had two storms. We had the wind storm. We had the winter storm. I had members calling me. I went back and forth on whether I should cancel it. I just got back into town that Monday at 7:30 in the morning. You know, I drove out there. So I was on like no sleep. I went back and forth on whether I should cancel it or not. I figured I'd wait till Thursday, see what it looks like, see what members were saying. We had a lot of members that called and canceled. And you were not there in the beginning because right. when in the beginning of the meeting, I mentioned the majority of our members could not be here tonight. I almost canceled, but the ones that are here, we did a questionnaire. We put out a questionnaire so that candidates can fill out the questionnaire. We could go over it with members at another time. And I also mentioned the candidates who were running who couldn't be there because there were a few candidates who were running, both for city council and school board, that were not able to come that day. So people were still dealing with the aftermath of the storm.
Well, that was the reason why I didn't want to come. So
right. I almost canceled it. I went back and forth on that.
That. I didn't feel that was the reason why I didn't want to go. So I will acknowledge that. But what for me, the original meeting was supposed to be at NYSET. That was where the original meeting was going to happen.
Well, it was a free space. Again, Adam, I don't have time and money to be chasing
but
spaces.
What I said to Paul, and I will say to you, I'm your district council member. I have spaces. I can find you spaces. If you need a space, that's not a problem for you to say, hey, you know of any spaces in the 25th? I'll find you one.
Adam, like you said, I've never actually talked to you, and you know that I've been the LD leader since last year. But I do want to not deviate from this point, too, that both Adam and LD 27, LD 25 were underfilled. So these were never committees that were filled to capacity.
And I want to address that.
And, you know,
I know Joe does as well, talking about who can get on committees and who can't.
Right. So these seats were never filled to capacity. So I don't want the audience to have an understanding
okay.
of something that's
we're
going to
get
accurate.
Into the nuts and bolts there okay. in a moment. But let me just get back to a central question here. Your letter, your open letter to Mayor Warren regarding Councilman McFadden's statements, You use the word bigoted. That's a very strong word.
Well, he's been going on Facebook making statements that are very inappropriate. And again, when he came to the actual meeting, and because I was not there, I do not like to address things if I was not a witness to it myself.
Right. But you put your name on the letter.
I put my name on the letter, but also we discussed in the letter the Facebook statements as well.
Okay.
So it was the fact that
were the Facebook statements bigoted in your mind?
Yes, in my mind they were, absolutely. Calling a whole committee all white, and even if they were all white...
That's not bigoted. I think people should look up the what bigoted means, but I will also say this. For someone to call somebody that's black and Italian bigoted is strange. So am I bigoted against myself? I just would like to know that. Who am I bigoted against?
That's the first time I ever heard you claim white in my life, but that's okay.
It is a known
thing. You also
thing.
Claim my treasurer is not Latina. She's a black woman too.
My father was born in Pinataro Maggiore, Italy. My grandmother was a war bride. Her name was Luigia Sinise. My relatives live here in Rochester that are white. So I've always claimed my heritage. There's actually an Italian film out about my family that I'm in. So I've never ran away from my heritage. Most people who really know me know that. I'm not ashamed of who I am. So when I saw that, I said, people really don't know what bigoted means because that term did not match what I said.
Well,
to make an observation about race is not bigoted. But this is the other thing. For me, I live by certain principles. And it's always been one of these things that I find that when people try to mute you, it benefits somebody else when you're trying to call out stuff that you see. You got to be careful when you do that. Because now, if you just throw that card out there when it's not warranted, now when I make an observation, that's the card that's going to be thrown. That's not to say that I was accurate about the information, but to use a term bigoted, to me, did not rise to that.
Do you wish you had said anything different, either in person or on Facebook that night?
Let me say this. What I saw, I was reacting. I didn't post that night. I posted that the next day.
Okay.
What I posted that night was Willie Lightfoot is turning over in his grave. That's what I posted that night.
With my name attached to that, too, because someone else screenshotted that and sent that to me. And I was like, why are they talking about me?
You should unblock them. You guys should get friends.
First of all, let me just say this. I posted what I felt at the time. I'm never going to go back and say, well, I regret how I felt. That's how I felt at the time.
Okay, but
what I will say this is at the time that I made the statement, I didn't know the makeup of the committee.
You were just commenting on what you saw that.
Yes.
Okay.
So I will accept that.
Okay. And Don, let me just bring you in because I know you've been observing this. You're a committee member, a new committee member. Do you agree with the letter saying that what was said that on Facebook or that night was bigoted?
I agree. Totally. I was there majority of the meeting. I was there when Adam McFadden came and when he left. He was only there for a few minutes. Okay. I think the letter, what we're saying, bigoted and his attitude, how he presented himself, that was from his Facebook remarks. That wasn't necessarily from what you were saying.
And that's not what the letter says.
Yeah, the letter says
in person
and Facebook.
In person, yes, in person and on Facebook, but more so your Facebook post. When you came, let me just speak on when you came. Okay, because I was there. I saw when you walked in. You walked in like King Joe Blow, okay? Like, I'm here, I'm speaking. And it's like, okay, we've had this order where the candidates are coming up, speaking on their behalf. They, you know, we had no clue that the mayor was sending you as a representative to speak on her behalf. So we're just following order and suit, okay? So all the candidates are speaking on their behalf. You walked in like, I'm here, I'm speaking. And it was like, okay, the mayor... You know, well, no, she sent me.
That's your.
So I get to speak.
That's your interpretation of what happened, but that's not what happened.
And that's your you put out your interpretation, so I can give mine.
I'm gonna correct you though.
But wait, after I give mine,
let me just give mine.
You know, I've been very patient.
Go ahead, Don. Go ahead.
You weren't invited either.
Go ahead.
I've been patient.
All right, go ahead, Don.
Okay, so Paul did an awesome job. He said, "Okay, you know, you explained that the mayor has sent you. Okay, no problem." You go up, you speak, and after you spoke on your thoughts, you made this issue about the location, which we've come to agree. Yes, there's more events that we would have, and more events should be in the district. My issue with that I think was unnecessary. Why would Lightfoot be turning over in his grave? The issue is, you've been in this business. You've been for, since you said 2000. And you see, instead of you making those remarks that you did and how you presented yourself there at that meeting, for me, a new person, a younger person that's come up from the West Side and is new to the committee, I was like, wow, that's really his stance? Instead of saying, I congratulate, I'm glad that you guys are working together for the better of your community. This is awesome. The issue is not location. The issue is our city. So why make that a big deal? And then you went to Facebook, which I think was like, really? This is someone I should be looking up to. You see what I'm saying? I've seen your work. I've seen you go, like I said, I grew up on the West Side, Genesee Street, Thurston. I've seen you. I've watched you. And for me to see how you presented yourself at the meeting and then take to Facebook as if it's like child's play. It's like, what? There were not more white.
You're saying there were not more white people that night on the committee?
When he got there and he's like, raise your hand. Myself, my colleagues that are on the committee, I was there. I stood up. You said it was like, what, 2-3 blacks? And I'm like, that's totally false. That's false. That's a flat out lie. That was a lie. When you said, raise your hand, I'm one. My colleagues, way more than three people. It was like,
were
so
there,
you're
were
lying.
There more white committee members there that night?
I'm not sure of the exact amount number, you know,
so
the
we have
exact
a
number.
Sheet.
We did have a sign-in sheet. We did have a sign-in sheet.
But can I just also just say about the white members on LD25? So when I inherited, when I took 25, 25 already had white members. Those members were not actually put on by myself or petitioned by myself or anybody I work with. So those members were on. Calvin Lee had put people on who did not know that they were on. And when I sent letters, those folks reached out to me and said, I don't know what this is about. I don't know why I'm on this committee. And actually, two of the people are homebound, bedridden, and in their late 80s. So those folks I'm not able to ever bring out to a committee meeting. But they were already on the committee. And these were white people that were already on.
But why
so.
Is it a all white, right. black thing? That's why I think.
Okay, hold up. Just for 1 second.
You got to
let the host have the floor here. Okay. Why it's a white black thing, Councilman McFadden made clear in his letter today. Obviously, there's disagreement on this, and that's what I'm trying to work through as constructively as we can here. And Joe Rittler's wondering if he's ever going to get a chance, and I will turn to Joe in a second. I thought we had to work through this. It's taking a little more time. The phone's blown up, too. But the issue is that Adam McFadden thinks this goes back to at least the election of Lovely Warren, that those who supported Tom Richards are doing everything they can to change that, even if that means systematically disenfranchising black voters. Dawn, you disagree?
Listen, I don't have anything to do with Richards. Right. I have not. You know, I'm new to this committee, so what I'm speaking on is what I saw at that meeting, and going forward. That is my whole. I don't have anything to do with Richards. I don't want to speak on it. I don't. You know.
But are you listening to his concern? Do you think he's got valid points there?
I think what his concern should be, what I think he has valid points on, is if he says there should be change in our city. That's it. You know, if he's not speaking on change and working together, your district and our district working together.
I actually sent an email asking to respond to a letter saying, if you guys would like to sit down, I'm willing to do that. To the email that's listed on that letter, never got a response to that. But I'll say this. When I came into the meeting, I did not interrupt him. What happened was they said mayoral candidates will speak at 6:45. I got there at 6:40. I did not know that your agenda was running a little fast. So James Shepherd had just got done speaking, and Paul said, okay, we're now moving on to city council races. Brittany, who was there, tried to get Paul's attention to say, hey, the mayor's surrogate is here. I didn't interrupt that part. When he basically didn't hear or ignored her, I can't say if he heard her or not, I don't know. That's when I spoke up. So it wasn't that I walked in and just interrupted him. The person that was there trying to inform him that I was there to speak on her behalf, he ignored her or at least didn't hear. I can't say if he ignored her or didn't hear. I don't know. So that's why I spoke up the way I did. I wasn't trying to come in like, hey, I'm here to speak. It's just that when the person tried to say to him, hey, the mayor surrogate is here, he just kept going. And so that's why I interrupted the way I did.
Okay. Now, Joe Rittler, who was a leader of the 24th Legislative District at one point in our what feels like probably ages ago, and now is the campaign manager for Rachel Barnhart. We invited you here because this is not necessarily a mayoral conversation. This highlights some of the splits in the Democratic Party and questions about whether it can be sort of healed going forward. But I know that, for example, Rachel Barnhart herself wanted to be on a committee and could not get on one. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Essentially, she was told no. The leader says that he, you know, said that there was a waiting list to get on.
And well, and why is that wrong? Why is that a problem?
Well, it's not really a problem, but there's other committees, too, that she could have been appointed to that do have open spots that she was not appointed to. And she
did she feel
it
excluded?
From those leaders. Yeah. And the other thing is, you know, there were folks appointed to that committee that she sought to seek membership on after she requested it. And most of them happened to be Jim Shepherd supporters. And the leader of that committee is also a Jim Shepherd supporter. And so, you know, I think it was a little disingenuous to say that there is no room, there's a waiting list, when there is room. But, you know, we just don't want to accept Rachel because she's got a different opinion. But, you know, I think that the bottom line about what we're talking about here today is that, and I think everyone really agrees, that the committees should be representative of the communities they serve. The 25th LD should be largely representative of the 25th LD, and so on, all the way down to the town committees. But what we have here, as Adam said, is a situation. I haven't been in quite as long as Adam, but since at least 2006 I've been around in Democratic politics. And, you know, this type of infighting has been happening since going back at least that long and longer. And, you know, I think that if you'd look at how a similar situation might be handled in the Monroe County Republican Party, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be talking about this in public. This would be an issue, I think, that would be resolved privately. And I think that the 25th LD folks would not have, you know, tried to politically grandstand and put out this letter. They could have just reached out to Adam and said, hey, you know, we have a problem with what you said. You know, can we sit down and talk about it? And then they can go from there, and Adam can respond that, you know, well, he feels.
Adam had the same opportunities
okay,
to reach out
just
to
finish.
Us.
You've had a lot of time,
LD25,
so if I could just.
Because he posted stuff on Facebook publicly about LD25.
All right, Beatrice, I was wondering, though, Joe. I mean, it's a fair point to say, you're saying that they publicly grandstanded. Did Adam make a mistake by publicly posting, you know, Facebook, et cetera?
Well, once you're called out in public, it's hard to not respond publicly.
My Facebook page is private.
But, okay.
So let's be clear. My Facebook page is my private page. It's not the city councilman page.
But you are a city councilman person, so people follow you because you're a city councilman.
Hold on. At what point? So when I post about UFOs, you're going to have a problem with that?
Why would I have a problem with
UFOs? I'm just saying, but what I'm saying, it's my page. If I don't tag you, then it ain't meant for you.
And it is. And okay.
I think, too, putting it out there publicly is antagonistic.
Okay. Yeah,
putting
media.
It out there publicly is antagonistic. And it's not the way that we're going to resolve problems and still hold each other together, which is what we need. Because, you know, after all, there is a reason why the Democratic Party in this county does not have many countywide elected offices, why the Republicans have a supermajority in the county legislature, and why the Democratic Party has two out of something like 19 town governments in this county. The Democratic Party isn't complete. Disarray in this conversation that we're having here today is a vivid example of why that is the case. And if we're ever going to come together, you know, we really need to look at people who are going to be outside of these two main factions that have thus far just continued to butt heads and bring the party down to a point where the party itself really can't do very much all by its own. And, you know, with all due respect, Don, whether, you know, you supported Richards or not, the reality is, you know, those sentiments. I was around when Lovely and Tom went through the designation process, and I was the leader of the 24th LD during that process. And Adam's right. You know, when Lovely won that primary, there are people in the Democratic Party who said, no, Lovely's never going to be our mayor, and we're going to fight her from day one. And those are the same people who happen to have, you know, pushed to get all these new members on 25.
That's not true, because I was one of the first people leading 25, and I supported Lovely, and I worked on her campaign day in and day out, and I did translation services
for her. If I could just finish my thought, please.
Well, you're telling my member that she's supporting someone that did not support Lovely. I supported Lovely.
Okay, please just let me finish. I didn't say you were a part of that. I said the people who passed the petitions and who funded
we
that effort.
Petitions.
Can I finish my thoughts without you interrupting one time, please?
Go ahead.
So I think the people who passed the petitions for the 25th LD are the same folks who supported Tom Richards in that primary. I mean, you look at the NYSA folks, and they actually did pay people to go out there and do that. And so you may not be in the Richards camp, but whether you know it or not, the people all around you are in the Richards camp. And that makes you an enemy of Adam and his people. And I think that
a
political enemy. A political enemy.
I wouldn't say enemy.
A political enemy.
Very strong.
Because even the way we ended our conversation on Facebook is I said, I'm willing to sit down with you and talk to you.
And that's the whole thing.
So
you can disagree without being disagreeable. Yeah. And I think that that's what we need more of. And this situation is not going to be resolved with the same old battles being fought over and over and over again. For 17 years now.
Well, I mean,
it's not going to be resolved with the same people in office. It's not going to be resolved with the same issues as you say.
That's right. And if we elect Jim Shepherd, he's just going to bring in the same old Richards people. And if we elect Lovely, she's just going to embolden the same old Lovely supporters. That's why we need someone who is not from either faction to come
actually,
in and say,
Rachel Barnhart is connected to Robert Scott Gaddy, who's the son of David Gantt. So I don't want to hear that he's that.
We don't need to make
this is not about the mayoral. Right. This is not about the mayoral issue.
I mean, I understand. I understand what Joe's saying, but we're not making this.
I will say this, that I have friends in all of these camps, okay?
Right.
And we argue, but it's not personal.
Right.
So for me, I don't have any hatred or see anybody as my enemy. I don't go home and sleep at night with this on my chest that way. All I would say is I have a view, they have a view. And I respect that they have a different view than I have. I'm not walking around saying anything bad about you behind your back or talking. You haven't heard me say one thing that got back to you. So I don't operate that way. All I'm saying is I just have a view of how I see things, and it's based on the history that I have in this party. And the party infighting predates me, okay? Okay.
Is it more personal lately, though, Adam? I mean, they're talking about bigeted comments that they think.
Well, I took that personal because they don't know my background. And I would say they don't know my history of what I've seen in this party. When I can watch black people be set in the back of a room in 2003 and people think that's okay, or watch us try to run for countywide races and we're laughed at and not considered seriously, that's an issue for me. So I'm going to always speak on those issues that I see disparities. That doesn't make me bigoted. That just means that I'm talking about race. And I will say this, the candidates that were there, four of them had the same complaint that I had. They just didn't post it. So,
right, that was smart of them not to post it. But I just want to say this. It's not about making it personal. But when you throw information about LD25 and you know that the members and especially our executive team is all minority because Renita Knight is African-American. She just happens to be light-skinned. So they took that and ran with it on Facebook, too, like trying to make corrections. And I'm saying her name. So Renita Knight is African-American. She just happens to be light-skinned. But when you say comments and you know you have a following as a city council person, you make comments about LD25 being predominantly white or supporting Shepherd or disfranchising black people, especially to minorities who have also fight this fight. We fight this fight too, day in and day out. We're direct service providers for the most part. We are in the trenches of Rochester and its poverty, helping families, connecting them with resources, helping them get out of poverty. And then you turn around and make a statement such as LD25 is predominantly ran by white people. It's offensive.
Ran by white people.
You said the committee is primarily white people. Yeah. And
right,
if you're black, to me, I take black as brown too, because we're one in the same.
I don't
have
a problem with that.
So I take that personal, Adam.
I never said anything about brown folks.
Well, I'm just saying, when you say black, I think black and brown.
Me too.
Because that's how I run. But the furthermore, my goal with LD25 is really to go out into the Southwest and educate people about this process, how to get involved, how to be a voice, to stop having people use us just to go out for a vote and not tell us the process, not tell us how to be a voice within the party. And we're going to empower the people and bring back the party to the people.
If it was true empowerment, then they would have worked with the leaders to say, hey, you got these vacancies. Can we put people in? Because they don't know why the vacancies, at least in my committee, existed. So I was never one of these people that was going to fill up a committee with a bunch of people who were never going to turn out to a meeting.
But we need people to engage people that are going to come out to the meetings.
Hold on. Again, you don't know my history, so you're making assumptions. All I'm saying to you is, if that is the case, no one ever, I can't speak to the former leader of the 25th. No one ever called me to say, Adam, you got these vacancies. We'd like to work with you on empowering folks to make sure that they know the process. If it's truly about that. But for me, if NYSET is basically using this to bully the mayor, then it's not about that. And that isn't to say that you are or aren't involved in it. I can just say you can go back to the Democratic Chronicle story of last year.
Well, there's the 10% of NYSET members on the committees. I mean, don't use a whole entire organization.
No, you're not understanding. The history, you're not understanding. So NYSET paid folks to go out and find people to put on the committee.
NYSET paid members to do a training and understand how to get on the committee and petition so that if they wanted to also petition and make money, there was also hundreds of volunteers of people who petitioned. Not everybody was paid. Everybody's not a NYSET member, and we're not here to speak on behalf of NYSET.
All right, listen, I have to get a few phone calls in because our listeners have been sort of agape at this, and we've got to keep it moving here. Patrick and Gates, go ahead and try to keep it tight. Go ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead, Patrick. Keep it tight. Go.
Yeah, this is just so frustrating. There's so much energy on the left nowadays, and this is what it's devolved into. Just this factions and people getting upset. I understand there needs to be reform. It's just, how are people supposed to be wanting to get engaged when this is how the people who are influencing things conduct themselves?
Well, Patrick, I appreciate the sentiment. I'm going to, before we close, I hope we're going to arrange for a nice lunch get together, and maybe Beatrice is going to unblock Adam on Facebook, and we're going to see what.
She doesn't need to unblock me. I never was trying to follow her. I mean, she made it sound like I was stalking
her.
You should be friends.
Come on.
He wasn't stalking me.
Come
on. I just blocked him years ago.
All right. Matt in Rochester next. Go ahead, Matt. Matt, are you there? Go ahead.
Hi. I'm 28. I've been registered to vote since I was 18, but I just joined the Democratic Party last year after 6 years in the faith. And this is just incredibly frustrating to hear that these are our leaders and this is how they're talking. And this shouldn't be an issue we have to talk about in public on the radio. This should be something we should be able to talk about in an email or over a lunch or something. I was at the meeting for, I live in the 23rd LD, and I was at that meeting last week. And the way I saw some of those committee members treat, you know, various candidates, I was near Rachel Barnhart when she walked in. It's disgusting, and it's frustrating as a new Democrat that is how we are treating our own candidates.
Well, Eric, thanks for the phone call. I think, again, I'm hearing from a lot of Democrats who say we've got to find a way to stop this, you know, division. And Gloria in Rochester wants to jump in, too. Go ahead, Gloria.
Hi. I want to respond to why Willie Lightfoot might be upside down in his grave. I was on the 25th Legislative Committee under his leadership in the 70s, and we worked hard to make sure there was no disenfranchisement of our committee members. At that time, and I don't know when the rules changed or if they have changed, but you couldn't serve on a legislative district unless you lived in the legislative district. Had nothing to do with the assembly district. It's the games that the leadership of the Democratic Party are playing. When I hear the term racism and bigotry, I love it because it creates controversy, but it doesn't create the kind of dialogue that should be talked about. There are racists and there are bigots. in that party that have caused the problem we have now in the Democratic Party. And I've been a member since the 50s, off and on. Been around a little longer than Adam. But Adam, you continue to tell the truth, because the truth is going to set us free. There are games being played, and the same people who fought hard to make sure our mayor never became mayor are the ones now that are causing the division in the party, and we need to address the racism that exists in the party. It does.
Gloria, thank you for the phone call. Well, let's talk about in our last couple of minutes how we're going to fix some of this. Beatrice, obviously I know you have differences of opinions, but would you get together separately? Is there a way forward constructively? What can we do?
I think there is a way forward constructively, but I do want to say and mention again that my goal is to educate the people about this process so that their voice is not just a vote. Stop asking us to come out and support campaigns. Stop asking us to come out and vote for candidates, but not educate us on the process and how to be a voice within the party. So those are going to be my goals, you know, moving forward with LD25. And again, we'll continue to recruit more and more members until our committee is completely full.
How do you get on the committee, by the way?
So there's two ways. You can petition to get on. Petitioning happens every 2 years, or you can be appointed by a leader.
Okay. Adam McFadden. What's the way forward constructively here? Do you see a path?
Honestly, I'll put it this way. That's a conversation we'd have to have off the microphone. So for me, like I said in my email to them, I said, if you would like to sit down, we can talk. I actually inboxed Paul Hippolyte that the next morning and said, if I'd have known you had issues with anything I said, we could have addressed it at the meeting. I said to my friend across the table here, after we got done going back and forth, hey, we could just sit down and talk about this. So I've made the offer. People have to accept the offer.
Okay. Joe Rittler.
Yeah, you know, I think the city and this area have a lot of serious problems. You know, when you look at child poverty and infant mortality rate, unemployment amongst African Americans is over 20%. It's clear that the Democratic Party's friction and factionalism is hurting not only the party and its capabilities, but our community at large. And I think that a good first step is to take these types of disputes offline and resolve them personally. That's definitely a good first step. But I think a second step that we need to take is to start embracing leaders who are not part of either faction, because that's the only way that we're going to really break free and go forward.
Don, 20 seconds. Do you regret getting in the committee, or are you saying, you know, look, this is part of it? How do you feel?
It's part of it. I'm from Rochester. I grew up in Rochester. Change is needed, and hey, I'm down for it. I love being a part of the committee, and I agree with Beatrice. We have to get out here, inform the people of the process and how to join and how to make change in the community.
Well, at least all of you all came out and showed up and said, yes, we can talk about it, even though it's hard. We've had a lot of listeners. A lot of Democrats have called or expressed some concern that this is where the party is, but it's reality right now, and they'd love to see it.
The party's always been here. Let's be honest about that.
All right, I want to thank our guests. Adam McFadden, thank you for being here, Mr. Councilman. Beatrice, thank you so much. Don, thank you. Joe Rittler, thank you from the Barnhart campaign.
Thanks
for listening. Kat Schwarz, Megan Mack, Behind the Glass. I'm Evan Dawson. Talk to you tomorrow.